Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
We're going to get straight into the Word of God. The other week, someone told me, Gareth, the services have been absolutely incredible lately at our Belmont campus, and some of the messages have been absolutely profound. And so I said, I got to roster myself off not preaching more often, you know what I'm saying? And so the message last week from Jess was absolutely incredible. And we've heard from Pastor Ken a few weeks ago, Pastor Jonathan from Town of Rosa, just message after message, which has really encouraged and built up our faith. This message I want to share with you this morning is really birthed kind of out of, you know, my devotions, my secret place kind of. And so, you know, God's been smashing me, asking me questions, hammering me, whatever word that was. And that just shows you how crazy it's been. But this message really has come from God really challenging me on a whole bunch of things. And so I'm going to try and give you the as light and fluffy version of it as I can. Because when God smashes me, it's usually I'm in tears, I'm a mess, I can't do anything for the whole day. So I want you to at least be able to drive home after this service. And so I'm going to try and unpack and explain the Word of God to you this morning. And let's have ears to hear this morning. Amen. Holy Spirit, thank you, you're here. You're moving. You're already moving. In fact, you've been moving throughout all of eternity. It says that your spirit hovers over the earth, waiting for a people to have their eyes open, to unblock their ears, to be revived in their life. So we acknowledge your presence right now. We partner with what you want to do right now. Would you have your way? Would your kingdom come? And would your will be done? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to ask you this question this morning. What's your atmosphere? What's your atmosphere? What's your spiritual atmosphere? Like, I don't mean like where you're sitting right now, like the building, you know, the worship that was going on before. I want to ask, like, what is your spiritual atmosphere? Like, what's the spiritual atmosphere of your life? It's not lost on me that, you know, nurseries and places like that, when they want to grow specific plants or specific species of plants, they want to cultivate and they want to sustain an environment for that plant, that species to grow, right? They don't just do something and walk away from it. They want something good to grow, so they get the right temperature, they get the right humidity, the right nutrients, the right, all these things are put in place to see the growth of that species. And God began to really challenge me for the last 4 or 5 weeks in my own personal life. And he began to ask me, Gareth, what is the spiritual atmosphere of your life? Because how many people know it can be easy to come and be expectant for the miraculous? It can be easy to come expectant for signs and wonders, for God to do incredible things and to see these things done. But how many know that you need to set an atmosphere for that? People sometimes, you know, when they walk into church, oh, the presence of God was so great, and that's absolutely fantastic. This is holy ground right now. We declare that. But the presence of God shouldn't be a stranger to us on a Sunday. Come on, because once we have a spiritual atmosphere in our lives, a spiritual atmosphere of faith in our lives, that's when we see things begin to grow. That's when we see the unexpected begin to happen. As God took me through the Bible, as I studied many heroes of the faith, I went from Moses to Joshua to Jacob. I studied the life of Elisha and Elijah. I looked at Paul's life. I looked at all these heroes of the faith. And one thing was certain, they all had this atmosphere of faith in their lives. Like none of them was, they may have been surprised when things happened, but in retrospect, when they actually thought about it, it didn't surprise them because they knew of the nature of God. They may have been surprised at the time, but looking back on it, it didn't take them by surprise because they knew and their faith was in the nature of who God was. We understand Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is the substance or assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. We understand this Hebrew word for faith, emunah, which is literally a verb to mean to act with firmness. To have faith is to firmly act. It's to be intentional. It's to take that first step, even when maybe you don't, I don't know, see the whole staircase. It's to be on this journey. Faith is an action. It's intentional. And how many people know that when you're intentional with something, you have to sustain that thing? And faith, like I said before, it's a journey. And sometimes we can feel bad because we feel like, oh, you know what, Gareth, I'm not meant to feel this way on my faith journey. I'm not meant to be in this spot. We almost feel guilty for where our life is in reaction to where our faith journey. But you know what the best thing about faith is? It's a journey and it's not a guilt trip. Like, it's a journey. It doesn't describe to you how you should feel in a certain set of circumstances, and the fact that you haven't measured up, and the fact that you're not where you think you should be. It's not about making you feel guilty for your challenges and your dramas. Because I was telling the 9 a.m. service, man, sometimes the week sucks. Sometimes the MC's on stage and they're like, would you just lift your hands in prayer? And all you're thinking is, no. And there's a promise declared all your life, over your life and your family. And sometimes all you want to say is shut up. And life's tricky. And life's messy. But there's something about getting in an atmosphere of faith. There's something about being around other believers who can help pick you up when you feel like you're down. That's why faith is a journey. It's not a guilt trip. And I love this message that I want to unpack for you this morning, because I feel like there's never been a message that I've unpacked so much in personal catch-ups with people. And I want to say an atmosphere of faith isn't just cultivated, it's also sustained. An atmosphere of faith isn't just cultivated, it's also sustained. I want to go to the Word of God this morning, Mark 5, 25-43. We've heard this message many a times before, and I've preached from it many a times, but this morning, let's not get familiar with the Word of God, amen? Let's look at it with fresh eyes. Now, a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came from behind him in the crowd, touched his garment. But she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Or who touched me? His disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging around you, and you say, who touched me? He looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Wow, there's something in humility for breakthrough, amen? And when he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, this is to Jairus, who starts this whole conversation off. Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. That's really important. We'll come back to that later. The brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly, loudly. When he came and he said to them, why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they, everyone in the room, around the area, ridiculed him. He puts them aside, took the father and the mother and those who were with him, and entered where the child was laying. Then he said to the child, took the child by the hand, said, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, but she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement, with great amazement. Just this nameless, faceless woman, and, you know, no biggie. Like, it wasn't like 12 seconds, 12 minutes, 12 hours, 12 weeks, 12 months. It was 12 years. Jewish law would have ruled this woman unclean. Unclean. In other words, just being around her, just touching her, if any of that blood even got near you, it would deem you to be unclean. It wouldn't have mattered what your stature was, how wealthy you are, what position you had. According to Jewish law, if that condition even came near you, you would immediately be deemed unclean. And the unclean woman pushes through a crowd to get to Jesus. And we think sometimes that it was her act, it was just pushing through that got to Jesus. Yes, it was her act of desperation, but it was also the fact that she's walking through the crowd would have stood back. Don't touch me. Just, hey, clear a path. She's unclean. And it would have been a long walk because she would have been permitted to live in the outskirts of town. If she had lived in the middle, she would have had to get given a special permit. It's a long walk to get to Jesus. And Jesus meets her, like that song we just sung says, exactly where she was at. Meets her again, the unclean touching the clean, and the clean making the unclean well. How many are glad that it's not your uncleanness that changes Jesus? It's his holiness, his righteousness, his worthiness, his glory that transforms us. We don't come and make him unclean, the clean came to make the unclean clean. Amen. That's why 2 Corinthians 5, I love this verse. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, we, you and I, might become the righteousness of God. So this woman pushes through the crowd. And Jesus says, because of your beliefs and because you've partnered that with action, therefore you've been made well. Because of this space that you've created for me to move in, now you've been made well. And I want to say this, actions without biblical convictions is just well-meaning activism. Be careful. Be careful, friend, about people who come alongside you and it might sound good and intentions might sound good and it might make you feel good for a moment, but there is no biblical convictions undergirding that opinion. There's no biblical convictions undergirding that truth. Be careful. Likewise, be careful to have biblical convictions without actions, because that's just apathy. That's just like laziness. I mean, this woman could have been like, hey, I know who Jesus is. The whole reason she's pushing through the crowd is because she had heard who Jesus was. She knew he was a savior. She knew he was the one who healed. She knew all that. Come on. She could have waited in the house. Come on, let's be real. Jesus is the savior of the world and he heals everyone. He knows everything. So I'm going to stay in my house because he knows me. He doesn't need to be near me to heal me. He can just heal me from here. Think about it. She could have had that mindset. Well, Jesus, you can just heal me. I'm just going to stay. No, she had to actually put action. She had to take these deliberate steps of faith. I love Isaiah 40, and many Christians use it. You know, those who wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings like eagles. Have you heard that one before? We use it a lot. There's a difference in our faith, in creating an atmosphere of faith to waiting on the Lord and being asleep on God. There's a massive difference. They can look the same to the outside. When you study the breakdown of Isaiah 40 and you actually take the words out and you look in the Hebrew and the Greek and you start to really dive into it, you see the translation, the purity of that message is those who have an active participation in the promises of God will be renewed and refreshed. So Jesus says to this woman, hey, because you've had an active participation in the promise of who I am, because you've now been deliberate and taken those steps and you've had a firm action, now you've been made well. And I want to ask you this morning, are you intentional with the atmosphere of faith you're creating in your world? Are you intentional with the words that you speak? Are you intentional with what you listen to, with your actions? Are you intentional with the habits that maybe you've created over the years? There's another character in the story, and his name's Jairus, and he started the conversation. In fact, the whole reason that this woman got a miracle then and there was because Jairus came to Jesus to ask Jesus to come to his house to heal his sick and dying daughter. And he wants the breakthrough. And he pushed through the crowd as well. And the woman pushed through the crowd as well. Both had faith. Both believe for the miraculous. But both in the middle of a story are on opposite ends of the miracle. Opposite ends of the miracle. And you can forgive Jairus for thinking, why didn't it happen to me like it happened to her? Like, I mean, Jesus, if you and me had the encounter together, surely in that moment there could have been instant healing, like what happened to this woman, right? Surely in that moment, there could have been instant healing. Nothing kills an atmosphere of faith more than an expectation of what God should do and how he should do it. How many people know that our breakthroughs look different? The way we receive breakthroughs look different. No one's breakthrough in this whole room is the same. You could have a million people go through exactly the same thing and God answer them in each and every one of them individually, unique ways. Jairus, he must go through all kinds of emotions. Comes to Jesus. I mean, he was desperate. And he goes from desperate and he ends up, as the story finishes, absolutely delighted. But in the middle would have been some random, crazy, rough emotions. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that because of what you're feeling, your faith journey is incomplete. because of what you're feeling, that your faith journey is incomplete. He still kept going. He still kept going. And as I studied this text, and God began to speak to me, Gareth, what is the atmosphere of faith you've created in your own life? There are three things that I began to study. Number one was this. God began to hit me with this. Who do I fear more, God or man? God or man? Jairus wasn't a random dude off a street that had, like, you know, nothing to lose. Jairus was a man of significance. He was a man of stature. In fact, this is crazy. The very followers that he had were the very people who put Jesus on the cross. In fact, what Jairus represented was the very group of people who did not want Jesus to do the miraculous. In fact, they didn't want a messianic miracle because they were okay Jesus being someone who rescued. They weren't okay with Jesus being someone who restored. Come on, I feel this prophetically. Be careful. Someone in this room, be careful for people in your life who are okay with the fact that you've been rescued. Hey, you're coming out of darkness to light. I'm okay. But they're not okay with the fact you've been fully restored. So I can handle the fact that, hey, you've changed your behavior a little bit. I can handle the fact that you're a little bit happy, but, oh, you're not drinking the way we used to drink, you know? Come on. You're not kind of hanging out in those places that we used to hang out. There's something a little bit different. So Jairus's people represent that. And the very thing that he's meant to put Jesus to the cross for becomes the very miracle that Jesus provides him with to see the salvation of God at work. Proverbs 29:25, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. I found, God spoke to me really clearly on this, that in different levels of leadership in my life, I've had to elevate my hunger. Why? Because so often in life, our dignity overwhelms our hunger. Our dignity overwhelms our hunger. See, what are people going to think? Can I give you just some real stuff right now, real talk? It's like, you know, what are people kind of gaz? You know, what are they going to think if I kind of, you know, share that scripture on social media or whatever? Chances are, not much. They probably know. I hope they know you're a Christian already. So yeah, I'll post that kind of feel-good, you know, line, and here's a great photo of my family, you know, it'll bounce up the likes, all that kind of stuff, you know. We don't know, but we've subliminally already kind of gone this journey of fear of God, of fear of man. And we want to be dignified in our response to God. We want to know, we want to act in a certain level. Man, that's why I love King David in the Old Testament. The Bible says he was undignified before the Lord. Like, he was a king. This wasn't a shepherd boy. This wasn't a nobody. This was the king of Israel. He had everything to lose. Let me tell you, church, you would have hated him in this congregation, man. You would have hated him. You would be sitting next to him right now in a message. He'd be happy. Come on, Gareth. Amen. This is awesome. Next second, he'd be a mess. He'd be crying. He'd be all sobby. He'd ask you for the tissues. Next second, he'd be angry. Oh, I can't believe you said that. He'd be all these kind of emotions. Praise and worship on a Sunday would not be the same. You'd be worshiping. You'd hear these sounds. You'd look next to you. All of a sudden, this guy's naked. Come on, King David danced naked before the Lord. I'd have to get a mic. I'd have to close everybody's eyes, bow their heads. For the first time in Nations Church history, everyone would actually do it. I would say, David, you get out. You get some clothes on and you get out of here, man. He'd be next level. But he wasn't dignified. He was just hungry for God. He didn't care about what people think. Men, can I talk to you for a second? Is it all right if I talk to you, men, for a second? Don't be so dignified that you use your hunger for God. Don't. Sometimes, males, we think that when we have a certain stature or a certain leadership position in families, in workplace, we think, oh, I've got to behave like this or I've got to act like this. But don't be too proud to fall on your face in worship. I share with our 9 a.m. service, I've done more than a couple of funerals in the last 5-6 years. One of the saddest things I've ever seen and heard is this constant line. Happens, I promise you it happens all the time. Never saw my dad vulnerable. Never saw him share any emotions. You know what that tells me? There's a generation looking, males, for you to be vulnerable before the Lord. There's a generation looking, is that an authentic vulnerable faith that I can follow, or is that just on show? Is there an atmosphere of faith that they're creating around you? That's why I love King David, man. He didn't care what anyone think. He just went for it. Number two, don't just start in faith, stay in faith. Verse 36, Jesus says, hey, Jairus, I know you've heard the bad news, but just keep believing. So Jairus, full of faith, starts well, takes a detour. Now he's on the other side of the miracle. He's waiting for it. He doesn't know how this is going to end. His daughter is dead. So often I read the Bible, and I'm guilty of it, skimming over stuff. But put yourself in the story. Your daughter is dead. And Jesus says, don't worry about it. Stay in faith. How many people, you'd have some words going through your head that maybe haven't left your mouth to Jesus at that moment. Come on. What? Stay in faith. You know, according to Jewish law, this would have been classified as a messianic miracle. What that means is that the body would have had to be dead 3 days and risen from the fourth day onwards, foretelling of Christ alone and what he would do. So this isn't just like a Gareth, you're 15 minutes late for your doctor's appointment. This is 4 days minimum. That's crazy. The situation wouldn't have just looked bad, it would have smelled bad. Friend, the decomposition process of that body would have already started. That's how bad it was. You wonder why people in the room would have laughed at Jesus? They would have laughed because of what they smelt. They would have laughed not just because of what they saw, but what they smell. You know what that speaks to me about? That the fragrance of Jesus is more pure and more beautiful than the fragrance of any outcome around you. The fragrance of Jesus is more pure, more beautiful than the outcome of anything else around you. Creating an atmosphere of faith in my life is the mindset that my belief in Jesus is so much stronger than the outcome I thought I would have had by now. That's an atmosphere of faith, having a mindset that my belief in the person of Jesus is so much stronger than the outcome that I thought I would have by now. That's why faith in itself, in its purest form, is relational before it's transactional. God isn't the ATM machine you come to straight away. Yes, his mercies are new every morning. Yes, he wants to give you blessings. But if you treat it as a transactional faith, it would void the word. That would mess up the meaning of it. It's not translate. It's firstly relational. What I love about Jairus in the Gospel of Mark is he stayed on the journey. Say, Gareth, well, it's a given. No, it's not. Jesus says he's going to do something. Miracles happen. Woman with the issue of blood's healed. Gives a promise. You would be mistaken if you were Jairus to say this, hey, Jesus, cool, thanks, it's been some time. I got something I left on the stove, right? I left my boat on the shore, you know, and I didn't put the anchor down. It's kind of drifting away. I got to go sort it out right now. But he stayed on the journey. He stayed on the journey. He's like, Gareth, what does that matter? Well, Jesus, hold up. I got this relationship and I just got to make sure that they're the one. And I'm probably going to take about a year, maybe 18 months to sort this out. So if you could just, I know what you're going to do, but if you could just give me some time, I'm just going to, this is a bit too real. It's kind of like, oh, well, listen, I know you opened doors for me to get this job and I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful, but I'm going to need about 6 to 8 months to kind of get favor with my boss, you know, and be in the good books and stuff like that. So if you could just press pause. Like, what we have here is good, God, but if we could just press pause on it, I'm just going to walk. Jairus stayed the journey the whole way. The atmosphere of faith is the presence of Jesus in your life on the whole journey. Every single step. Creating an atmosphere of faith requires the presence of Jesus the whole way. Is this all right? Number three, what's on my lips? So what's on my lips? Come on, say, what's on my lips? Don't leave me hanging like that. Declare and decree. The book of Proverbs tells us that life and death are in the power of our tongue. And when I studied and when I was looking at this verse, God really highlighted three things in my own personal life and I want to share them with you. God said these three things to me. Don't let, Gareth, your declaration be opposed to God's word. Don't let your declaration be assumed, and don't let your declaration be infrequent. Don't let your declaration be opposed to God's word. Don't let it be assumed. Don't let it be infrequent. Don't let it be opposed to God's word. It's real simple. Don't let it be assumed. What do I mean by that? Someone says, oh, God's good. Well, he's good. I knew that. Well, if you knew it, say it. Don't let it be infrequent. When Kate comes on the MC before, and she came and she was ministering and she was MCing on the stage and sharing the word of God, you know, we shout, yeah, that's great. We agree with that. Yes, God is good, but don't wait for every fourth week where you hear that verse and you say, you know what, God is good. No, don't wait for that fourth week. Do that every day. Let's walk it out. Let's live it out. Let's have an atmosphere of faith in our lives. Why do we do all these things? We do all these things because church is amazing. It is incredible. Connect groups are the fabric of our church. We walk into these places and there is an atmosphere of faith where God literally does anything, but we should be no stranger to it, because that same atmosphere of faith you can have in your home, you can have in your workplace, you can have in your school, your university, your TAFE. You know, we don't own that atmosphere here at Nations Church. An atmosphere of faith is what you carry wherever you go. One of the biggest reasons I think we don't see breakthrough in our lives is because we never let the promises of God leave our lips. We don't see the breakthrough because we never let, and then we get discouraged why we don't see the breakthrough. Well, I want to ask and challenge, when was the last time the promises of God left your lips? Psalm 93, verse 5. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore, to declare, to make known, to speak out, a decree given of royal authority, given of supreme authority. That's why a royal decree has grace, it has authority, because it's given by a royal nature. God's word is a supreme authority. Why? Because it is given by a supreme truth. That's why it is a decree. So when we speak about declaring a decree, it is God's word. It doesn't need to get added to, doesn't need to get taken away from. If it did, it would be a random Wikipedia page where we would just jump on every second day and add our thoughts and add our opinions to it. Leonard Ravenhill said this, that the only people who want to change the gospel are the people who are unchanged by the gospel. The only people who want to change the gospel are those people who are already unchanged by that very gospel. If you want to create an atmosphere of faith, start declaring God's decrees, his promises over our life. So it's little surprise and little wonder that Romans 10:17 says that your faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Messages, worship, podcasts, books, all great. They will add to the foundation of your faith. But if you want to get the elements, the central revelation of faith right, it is this: God's word, God's supreme word for your life. Hearing God's word is absolutely incredible, but declaring it is absolutely something else. That's why I love Sundays and connect groups, because you have the ability to affect my atmosphere of faith. I have the ability to affect your atmosphere of faith. I love testimonies. I love when people send me encouraging things. I love sitting down with people in different seasons of their life. When things are really hard, when there's trauma, when there's pain, I love sitting and journeying with people through that. When things are going great, I love sitting down with people through that. But nothing encourages me more when someone says, Gareth, I just want to encourage you with this promise. Man, I just want to encourage you with the word of God. That does something in my spirit. And you have the opportunity to do that with the very people in this room. That's why Jairus came to Jesus as the band joins me. You say, well, Gareth, Jairus didn't really declare anything. Well, he did. Remember, he came to Jesus. Jesus, Son of God, my daughter's not well. I know that you can heal her. What does John 1 tell us? That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was and is the Word of God. So he came to the Word of God. If you are who you say you are, if this promise is true, the breakthrough will happen. He declares the Word of God, and he sees the breakthrough in his life. You say, Gareth, but what happens if I don't see it? Friend, that's the journey of faith. That's the journey of faith. The journey of faith and the promise of faith is that it looks different to every single individual in this room. You want to know why the Bible has so many different stories? It's to let you know. Some people, they'll get the breakthrough straight away. Others, it'll take 12 years. Some, it'll take 40 years wandering through a dry and barren wilderness. Some, it'll take 400 years of silence before a breakthrough comes through the wilderness. But friend, that's the journey of faith. It's not a guilt trip, it's a journey. And I found that's why declaring the word of God is so important. What's on your lips? It's pretty scary what can be on my lips from time to time. What can be on believers' lips from time to time. I want to encourage you, don't declare societal views over God's word. Don't declare pessimistic forecasts over God's word. Don't declare statements of division over God's word. I found in my life, and it took me so many years to learn this, but I found in my life, you either orbit around the word or you orbit around other people's words. You either orbit around the word or you end up orbiting around other people's words. But what I love about the beauty of Jesus Christ is that he died and he didn't force us to take an option. He presented it to us to freely take. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? Create an atmosphere of faith by decreeing and declaring. And it's not lost on me how it all ends. Mark chapter 5. It says, Peter, James, John, I'm taking you in with me. Mom, Dad, I'm taking you guys in. You have the promise. It's your daughter. You have the most to lose. Everyone else, get out. You're coming in with me because I know it smells bad, but I know you're more captivated by my fragrance than the fragrance of the situation that you see in front of you. And he brings them in and the miracle happens. Some people, you know, maybe we kind of clutch at straws and stuff and, oh, well, you know, I can't hang around with these people. Use your own wisdom and discernment for that. But that's not what the verse is implying and telling us. The very three people that he brought in, those disciples, privileged enough to be on the Mount of Transfiguration, privileged enough to go and pray with Jesus at Gethsemane. In other words, people who added influences, who added atmosphere, who added faith to the atmosphere in that moment. Sometimes it's not always people. Sometimes it's influences in your life that detract from the atmosphere of faith. And I'm praying even right now as I'm speaking this message. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of you. What are the influences? Maybe it is people, I don't know, but what are the influences that maybe it's time to walk away from? Maybe it's time to cut out in your life, to have that atmosphere of faith accelerated, to see good things grow again. So I start off this message by asking you, what's your atmosphere? And I want to conclude it by saying, doesn't matter if you haven't started it, are going through it, we all have the opportunity to cultivate and sustain an atmosphere of faith in our lives wherever we go. Is that all right? What's your atmosphere this morning?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.